Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the sermon title? It's upon the screen. Facing God's No. By looking for His instead. That's in the small print. Facing God's No. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to these words of St. Paul. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations given to me, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, 3 times I asked the Lord that the thorn would depart from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insult, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Today, please follow your sermon outlines provided for you on the handout as we consider this most important of themes, facing God's No. So what do you do? What do you do when God says no to your prayers for healing or your prayers for deliverance from a very difficult situation? How do you face God's no? Now, we really like the biblical accounts of healing. Did you hear the gospel reading today from John chapter 5? Jesus healed a man crippled for 38 years. We love those accounts in the scripture of people healing. When Jesus healed them, we rejoice. We also love to listen to the modern stories of people who share their accounts of when they were healed, when the doctors gave them no human hope. But how do we respond when God says no? When we have prayed in faith, when we have prayed in the name of Jesus, when we have prayed with earnest hearts, and God still said no. Now, we rightly rejoice with others when God brings them an answer of yes in solution to their problems or their illnesses. But then we wonder, don't we? What about my mother? What about my father? What about my child? What about my best friend? Oh, Lord, to be even more personal, why are some people healed or delivered and I am not? Why do you say no to me, oh, Lord? Again, I ask you, how do you face God's no? This was the question St. Paul was wrestling with in today's text from 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, quote, 3 times I asked the Lord to take it, that is his big problem, from me. But God told Paul no. God said, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, Paul began this chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, talking about an amazing spiritual experience that he had. It must have been truly amazing. And something must have truly happened to St. Paul because he was tempted by it to be proud and to be full of himself. Now, to bring him down a couple notches, so Paul would be less Paul-dependent and more God-dependent, Paul says he was given what he calls a thorn in the flesh. We never find in Holy Scripture exactly what this thorn is. But the 2 Corinthians text suggests Whatever that problem was for Paul, it was painful. And it had been going on for a long time. And so as a man of God, Paul rightly took his request to God in prayer. And Paul came before God in prayer not once, not twice, but three times. Paul repeatedly prayed and he pleaded and he agonized with God to heal him and take away the thorn. And guess what? God said no. Could God possibly say no to a great man like St. Paul? Could God say no to the greatest of all of the apostles who started so many churches and wrote probably 2/3 of the entire New Testament of the Bible? If you remember, one day Paul was blinded during his conversion on a road in the town called Damascus. And Paul was then healed of his blindness. But God said no to the thorn. In Acts 28, we hear of Paul's shipwreck on an island called Malta, that Paul was there bitten by a poisonous snake. But Paul did not die, and the Bible doesn't even say that Paul prayed for healing, but he was healed. Yet when Paul prayed for healing from this thorn, God said no to the thorn. During his own ministry, Paul was used by God to heal others. In Lystra, Paul healed a man crippled from birth. In Ephesus, Paul cast out a demon from a tormented girl. In Troas, Paul restored life to a boy believed to be dead. Yet Paul's own thorn was not healed. God said no. When Paul and Silas were locked into prison in Ephesus, the prison doors flew open, the chains fell down, and they were freed. But when Paul prayed about this thorn, God said no. But after God said no to Paul, God said instead. My friends, when God says no to you, look for God's instead. God does not say no without saying instead. I say again to you today, if you take nothing away else from this sermon, take this home with you today. When God says no to you, look for God's instead. God said to Moses, he had him on a high mountaintop and said to Moses, "No, Moses, you will not enter the promised land with the children of Israel. Instead, Moses, I will transport you across all barriers of time and space and one day put you on another mountain, on the Mount of Transfiguration, to speak with Elijah, with my son Jesus, who will soon go to the cross to die for the sins of the world." Moses, no, but instead. When King David's son by Bathsheba was stricken with illness, David pleaded and prayed for the boy's life. But God said no. But later, when Bathsheba was pregnant again, God said yes. And he said, "Instead, I will give you Solomon as your son." The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 of that book, "So many of the faithful Old Testament saints of God died before seeing with their earthly eyes the promised Savior, Jesus. Instead, God prepared them for a better life, an eternal life in heaven, where they would one day see their long-awaited Savior face to face." When God says no, look for his instead. That's just a fancy way of saying what our godly parents and our godly grandparents told us when we were growing up. God will never close a door unless he opens up a window. But today, let me rephrase that saying. And listen carefully. God will never close a window without opening up a door. A door is bigger than a window. What God often does for his beloved children after his no is bigger and deeper and wider than the small and narrowness of our request. When God said no to Paul's request to get rid of the thorn, instead God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." Where today we ask for blessings, for what we want, for what we crave, for what we think we really need. But instead, remember God's instead? Instead, God gives his beloved children what we really need. His grace, even without us asking for it. Remember what grace is. The unsought, unasked, undeserved, unmerited goodness of God. Grace is what God does for us without our even asking for it. When God says no, he might just be saying, instead, I will give you what you really need without you even asking for it. You see, when we have a thorn, like St. Paul, when we have a thorn, we may not know what is best to ask for. It was true for St. Paul. Instead of taking away his thorn, God gave St. Paul what he really needed to be the greatest of all the apostles. He gave Paul a complete dependence on the grace of God. Again, when you have a thorn, you may not know what to ask for. The pain may be so bad, the heartache so piercing, the burden so heavy, that all you can think to ask for is relief. But remember, God's grace means that even without your knowing what to ask for, God will take care of you. Goodness, how many hospital visits I've made as a pastor. I once went to see a church member who had been hospitalized so many times and now was sent home to die. This person was not just a church member in name only. His faith in his Savior was shown in his constant life of sacrificial service and outreach to others with the love of Christ. He was beloved and respected by church members, but even more so by church visitors to whom he made a point of reaching out to and befriending every Sunday. The congregation had been praying for him very earnestly. He had gone to the threshold of death and back more than a few times. This time when I went to visit him at his home, he did not even recognize me. My heart was heavy. I came face to face with God's no, and I didn't like it. In my prayers, I told him so. This loving man of God now could not even speak words out loud to God. He couldn't ask for anything from God in prayer. But I know that God directed me to share with that man that day today's sermon text from 2 Corinthians 12, in which God says, "My grace is sufficient for this, my beloved child. My power will be made perfect even in his weakness." God was saying then, and he's saying now, do you hear him? Without their asking, I will take care of my own. I will take care of my own. They are in my hands. You are in His hands. My friends, take a moment, won't you? Take a look at our Savior on His cross. Take a look especially at His hands. See the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, your Savior. You are still in those hands. The hands that were pierced for your sins, the hands that burst forth from the tomb for your salvation, are the same hands that hold you and care for you today. God's grace for you in Christ, as it was for Paul, is still sufficient. That's what God told Paul. But He also said to St. Paul, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." In other words, says our Lord, after I say no, not only will I continue to take care of you, but my power will be at work in you and for you by the Holy Spirit. Because you are weak, my power can more than handle what yours cannot. What I will finally do in and through you, says our Lord, will be all the more glorious. Your faith in me will grow. Oh yes, you will see that my power is made perfect even in your weakness. Just wait and see. This St. Paul, whose thorn God did not remove, wrote much of the New Testament. God said no, and Paul said remove the thorn. And instead, Paul established more churches than any other of the apostles. Paul is quoted more than anybody except for Jesus. Paul is the greatest of the New Testament theologians, has influenced literally billions of people in this world. Oh, dear Lord, you're right. As you told Paul, and as you continue to tell us, my grace is sufficient for you. My power will be made perfect in your weakness. God's instead replaces God's no. A final story to share with you. Actually, two small ones. But who's counting? One of the most godly men I know, whom I love dearly and respect, is also one of the most dynamic preachers I know, and he preaches every Sunday from a wheelchair that he's bound into because of cerebral palsy. At first glance at this man, it'd be easy to say, this guy is weak, he's ill, he is frail, his life is of no consequence. But when you hear him preach, he has the strength and the power of Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. God's instead replaces his no. One of the most beloved and powerful hymns in the entire Christian church is the classic hymn that we sing almost every communion Sunday, "Just As I Am." Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, was written by a woman named Charlotte Elliott, who had been an invalid, crippled and bedridden for over 50 years. She wrote that powerful hymn. God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. God's instead replaces his no. My friends, when we face no, when we face God's no in our lives, we can join St. Paul and so many others who have moved off of Complaining Avenue and moved on to Praise Street. Paul's confession of faith can be ours. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then in Christ, I am strong. When God says no, listen for his instead. In the name of Jesus. Amen.